We've already implemented pension changes for current public safety employees, saving more than $80 million annual. And I'm not proposing any more changes for current public safety workers. But for new public safety workers, so new public safety hires, we should move to a hybrid defined benefit, defined contribution plan. And we can rebuild our health benefits to get lower costs from our vendors as well. Right now, we are auditing all health benefits to eliminate inappropriate costs. And we need to improve the wellness of our workforce to reduce costs by promoting fitness and smoking cessation. We performed an evaluation of the health of our workforce, and the news was not good. Our workforce is unhealthy, and it's driving up our costs. Nearly 50% of city employees and retirees have critical or chronic illnesses or are at risk, which is double the rate of the overall CareFirst population. I just want to say that again. Nearly 50% of city employees and retirees have critical or chronic illness. We cannot reap the benefit of our reforms or the audit that we're performing if we do nothing to improve the health of our employees. There's no doubt that Baltimore's firefighters are among the best in America, but the current 42-hour shift schedule is outdated. Among the 25 largest U.S. cities, including Baltimore, 19 fire departments have work schedules exceeding ours with a median work week of 52 hours. We need to work with our fire unions to negotiate a new schedule with significantly higher pay to reduce inefficiencies and prevent further firehouse closures and layoffs. And here's the bottom line for our hardworking employees. We do not propose any of these changes to penalize anyone. We're making these changes so that the savings from these initiatives can be used to increase workers' salaries up front and balance the long-term budget, which will prevent future layoffs and pay freezes. If we do this right, city workers can get better take-home pay with competitive benefits. Sorry. So let's talk about making taxes more competitive. Everyone knows that Baltimore has the highest property taxes in the state. But what many don't know is that we also have the highest tax effort, and that's because of a poor tax base. The yellow bar is the state average. The blue bar is Baltimore City, and let me explain what tax effort means. For every penny on the city property tax rate, the city generates about $3.5 million in revenue. For every penny that Baltimore County on Baltimore County's tax rate, the county generates $8 million, more than twice as much. So in order for the city to generate the same amount of tax revenue, we must tax at twice the rate. The wealthier our tax base is, the less necessary it becomes to tax to get revenue for basic services, including fire, police, and sanitation. And the way to address this challenge is to increase the wealth of our tax base by promoting population growth and new investment in the city. The problem is the only way to do that is to reduce the tax burden, particularly for homeowners. So can you see how this might be difficult when the tax effort is so high? It is difficult. We all know it's very hard to do, but we're going to make it happen, and we're going to do it responsibly. And here's how. First, we're dedicating revenue from the city's newly approved casino to property tax relief. Second, we're making spending reductions and making the government more efficient to generate more tax savings over time. Third, we're moving forward with a state-mandated stormwater charge to rebuild our crumbling storm drains. And we're going to use some of that savings to cut property taxes further. Finally, we should create a new solid waste enterprise for trash, recycling, and sanitation by collecting a user fee, as is done in other Maryland jurisdictions, including Anne Arundel, Howard, Montgomery, and Prince George's counties. If these counties didn't have a fee, their property taxes would likely be higher. A new solid waste enterprise relieves budget pressures on the general fund, which is supported by property taxes. We will use all of the savings from solid waste innovation, the solid waste initiative, to cut property taxes dollar for dollar This is not just another fee. Combined with other initiatives, it's a net-net tax reduction for most city homeowners. And to support this effort, we also need to diversify our revenues that are coming into the city and rely less on property tax revenue. We need to maintain the parking tax rate and to look at a taxi tax so that non-resident commuters and visitors that use our transportation system pay their fair share as well. This will help us keep services like the Charm City Circulator funded. We should allow corporate sponsorship and naming rights for some of our city buildings for new revenue and revisit Councilman Henry's billboard tax proposal. And when the voluntary pilot agreement with some of our tax-exempt institution expires in 2016, we need to renew this discussion with the broader not-for-profit community, which accounts for more than $4 billion in tax-exempt property. Finally, local government needs to do a better job collecting what's owed by auditing city and state tax credits. Already, our billing integrity program, a model for the state, has identified more than $4 million in property taxes previously lost to erroneous tax credits and exemptions. We need to expand this effort. If we do all of this, we can cut the effective property rate for the city homeowner by nearly 50 cents, a 22% reduction over the life of the plan. And at a critical time, when families are making the choice to live in Baltimore or to stay in Baltimore, our property taxes will be more competitive and more families will choose to stay. That means more people, more jobs, and a wealthier tax base. Now let's move on to infrastructure. Our city faces a $1.1 billion infrastructure deficit over the next decade. Roads, bridges, and city buildings, including our police and fire stations, need significant investment just to meet reasonable standards. According to a 2008 survey, 43% of roads are rated in a poor state of repair. In the past 3 years, we have done more road repair than any recent administration, yet this still falls short of what we need to do annually to make significant repairs on our roads. 21 city bridges are ripe for replacement. We have to do more to fund these important investments for Baltimore's future. This plan focuses on what we can do locally to invest in infrastructure, including repairing our roads and bridges. But we also need to seek a renewed state commitment for highway revenue, which has declined dramatically in recent years. The General Assembly needs to come up with a viable transportation funding package and pass it to support our state's economy, the city, and the state as a whole. So this plan makes major investments to support the school system's financing proposal to rebuild and renovate our school buildings, including continuing the city's capital contribution for schools at approximately $17 million annually, the local bottle tax that will generate $10 million annually for school construction starting in July. 10% of the city's slots revenue will be dedicated as well. And thanks to our successful effort in support of Question 7 last election, that number is slated to increase. And as a result of earlier efforts, we are leveraging additional state funds from the city's contribution to teacher retiree health care benefits. Altogether, these steps more than double the city's current contribution to city school renovations and fully support Dr. Alonzo's renovation plan, which deserves state approval. So many of you have seen the progress that we've made under our Vegas to Value initiative over the past 2 years. The program has become a national model. Since launching this initiative, 250 vacants have been torn down. Nearly 1,000 more are being rehabbed, and sales of vacant city-owned properties have increased by 500%. More than 140 new homeowners have received a $10,000 homeownership grant through our Vacants to Value initiative. And even though we've demolished more vacant property than any recent administration, funding constraints for demolition make it difficult to meet the scale of the problem of blighted vacant homes in our city.